Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us. It is Sports Map Radio Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. Love to hit you up, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Dodgers champions of baseball as they take game six last night. Blake Snell taken out after 5 1/3, had 9 strikeouts. The big decision of the game. But I also think you're overlooking the fact that the Dodgers bullpen was unbelievable last night. Absolutely fantastic in their victory. Sending a lot of guys out there, and every one of them just came up aces. Plus, the Dodgers took advantage of the opportunity to go after whoever was coming out of the bullpen after realizing Snell was gone. There's a mental factor that goes into play. You're not getting any hits. You're not getting any good looks. You're striking out. You're swinging at bad pitches, or you're standing there and letting a good one go past because you were fooled on the pitch. And then they just bring. It doesn't matter who they bring in. They're going to be optimistic and energized by the decision Kevin Cash made. And they were. They took advantage of it by scoring 2 runs, took advantage of a pass ball. They also then got a fielder's choice, Mookie Betts running and sliding in and getting the second run of the game. And after that, that was it. The bullpen did the rest. Betts added a solo home run to give them a little bit of a cushion, but the Rays never mounted a challenge. Never came storming back in that game. You know, Joe Buck had said at the time when Blake Snell was taken out, a decision that would be talked about for many, many years. But I thought to myself, only if the Rays lose this game. If the Rays come back to win it, it's just a footnote in the history of this series. It'll be one of those blunders that they overcame, and we'd go into Game 7. But that was not the case. That blunder, that decision to take Blake Snell out after 76 pitches, 5 2/3, letting him go longer than he had ever gone before, go into the seventh inning, completing 6. That would have been the longest outing of the season. Instead, becomes the moment of that Game 6. Despite the fact that Betts had an outstanding game, Seager's your MVP, there's a Clayton Kershaw narrative that gets kind of taken aback with the championship, and the bullpen was phenomenal, and the Dodgers won a World Series for the first time since 1988. The Cash decision is on top when you look at the 2020 World Series. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next. Gabe Lax will also join us this hour to talk about the series from USA Today. It's all coming up. Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb, the midweek version as we head into the Wednesday. Let's get the good of the day. You know what? There's nothing better than when your team wins a championship. I can't possibly imagine you coming up with another good than that, Mr. L.A. But you've got a good, so let's get it.
You know what? Every once in a while, you gotta think outside the box for the good.
Outside the box.
But it's not really outside the box. I mean, this is dead smack in the middle of the box.
Okay.
All right. Recognize this song?
Of course. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Coming, second weekend of November?
Second week of November.
College Game Day will be broadcasting live from the Masters.
I saw this.
At Augusta National.
I actually laughed out loud when I saw this. I thought this was unbelievable cross-promotion.
Yeah. I mean, can't blame them.
They're going to be doing it where the par 3 course is. But that's on a Saturday. That's an incredible setup.
Yeah.
That's going to be...
Can they tear it down in time?
Well, they're not going to be a par 3 contest this year.
No, I know, but so I'm just saying, aren't people going to be playing through at some point?
Well, not the par three area.
Not the par three area?
No, that's off to the end of the course. But you're going to have, like, part of the appeal of game day is the emotion of the crowd, right? Well, they've kind of did away with that a little bit because of the COVID.
Yeah, maybe this is a way to make sure there's no.
I mean, this is almost a way of saying let's just do it on a silent set.
Can we have some of the golfers come out and make
I think
the crowd?
So, right? Well, okay, look.
Tiger Don, a Stanford.
That's what
shirt.
I'm thinking. Now, I know these guys, these golfers like to be like, well, I got to get in the zone for my round. I'm in a major. But get somebody, come on, get a bunch of guys on the set, right?
Right.
Like, Phil Mickelson went to Arizona State.
Yes.
Tiger Woods went to Stanford. Jordan Spieth went to Texas. There's going to be a couple of guys that have gone to SEC schools. Get them in there. Let's have some fun with this. You can't just be those guys yapping about college football. Throw in a little golfer action.
I know some people are going to, you know, be up in arms about this, but I'm kind of excited to
see
it. Me too.
I am. I'm completely. Those stuffy Augusta National types, this should be awesome.
I have no idea what's coming.
This is fantastic. This is great. You know, Cliff Roberts wouldn't have never allowed this when he was chairman of the board.
I'm just curious if there's going to be a crowd outside the gates of
Augusta.
Yeah,
right? Why not? Georgia's a lenient state when it comes to COVID, right?
Yeah,
is it? I don't know.
Definitely.
Just come on in.
They're the ones who are leading the charge sometimes.
Now, here's what I would do if I was game day. I would at least find a way to get the Washington Cougar flag there. Or do they still not do that? Remember the guy was going, I think they went up to Washington State. Remember there was the Washington State flag that was they paid for a guy to fly that flag at game day everywhere it was until they came to Pullman, Washington.
Okay, yeah.
And I think they went to Pullman, Washington, and so they ended it, but I'm not sure. I'm not really up on the itinerary of the game day crew. But if not, you got to find a way to get that flag into Augusta National to wave it somehow, some way. I don't think there's a golfer on the tour that went to Washington State, but
no, maybe just somebody.
Maybe not.
Get a larger flag and just wave it from outside.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But this is a good idea.
A parachuter.
This is a good idea.
I'm excited.
Me too.
You know, and like I said, many people are probably gonna be like, "Oh, that's stupid. That's breaking tradition." Like, you know, who cares?
Just do it.
Just get out there and let's see what happens.
But it's a great. It's a pretty good weekend of like Alabama LSU. Is on schedule. I know LSU's down a little bit this year, but it's still a good game. I think there's some really good football games that's scheduled that day, too. So it's a combination of Masters Saturday plus a good schedule of college football, if I'm not mistaken.
And then two networks kind of promoting each other.
Bring it together. Yeah. Howdy, friends. The Masters. Nobody is going to be there. That's going to be so weird.
That is going to be weird.
To see that. Nobody's going to be there. There's going to be no roars through the pines.
No, you're going to get to see more of the course,
yeah,
which I don't know if I'm prepared for.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, college All game right. day.
Great. That's awesome. That's a good. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, you know, some people may feel indifferent about this. I feel that this is a not necessary thing, but this is happening for the third straight year. This is the first I've heard of it. I've never seen this before, but this is the third straight year where KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Walmart are collaborating for their KFC scented log.
They did this before. You're right. Yeah, I remember this.
I don't remember it at all. But
yeah.
Do we really want a light of fire log? You know, it's like one of those like Duraflame. Like it just, you know, it burns for a couple of hours. It's not real wood. It's like wood particles, I guess.
So what they're saying is the 11 herbs and spices, you light the log and then you get the fragrance
of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken through your house.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
I don't think I want that.
I like Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I don't think I'd want my house smelling like it.
I don't need it
smelling.
Does that
make sense?
Yeah, it's going to smell like a greasy fast food restaurant.
Right, exactly.
I'm not sure I'm wanting my house to smell that way. Just stick with pine.
To me,
cedar.
To me, this is like the bacon craze. Like, man, we like bacon.
Yes.
But there was a point where I was like, okay, look, I don't need bacon gum.
Right, yeah. Right?
Like, I don't need bacon candles. Like, I like bacon, but for the love of Pete, I don't need bacon ice cream, bacon cupcakes. I don't need that.
You can go to a website And the website is, I can't remember the actual name of it. I'm going to look it up. But I think it was called Bacon Porn. Right?
Wow. Right.
And it literally, it's not what you think. It's not the second word.
All right.
But it literally is everything that has to do with bacon, like bacon scented socks, bacon air fresheners, bacon, like you said, bacon ice cream, bacon wine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's overindulgence of bacon. And I love bacon.
So somebody was in a room and somebody said, you know what? It's pretty cool. Last night, my wife and I got some KFC, got some Colonel, brought it home. Man, it's just the smell of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And somebody went, wait, I got a great idea. Let's take that fragrance and put it into a kind of like a Duraflame log. And then their whole house. And people went, that's brilliant. Let's get research on that. Let's start building a prototype. Let's start making this marketing, getting them on top of it. And I wonder if people are like, yeah, here's the thing. Every now and then, I like to stop by KFC and get a bucket of Colonel. But I don't need my house smelling like it.
No, well, I guess
if
what
I want to smell the flavors, I'll walk into the store if I can.
I guess what they thought was maybe he's like, you know, every once in a while, I just go to KFC for the smells, not
that's
to eat.
That's right.
I just go for the smells.
By the way, my local KFC, I don't know if yours has it. I know there's places around the country that do. My local KFC has a buffet. Now, they don't have it anymore because of COVID.
Right.
Like COVID, like you can't even go in, I think. I think it's just drive-thru only. But before COVID, it was like a buffet.
A buffet.
Which is really dangerous for me, man, because I would go in there and be like, you mean I can get all that for one low price? Just keep eating? Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, that's not a smart thing to have.
I know, because it's really good.
That's like Disneyland for a fat man.
That's right. That is right. That is correct. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day was a tweet that was sent out that went viral beyond viral.
Okay.
I got to read the tweet for you. So
sure.
Give me a second just to pull it up because it's a tweet that I guess fell short of what its intentions were.
Okay. This happens every now and then.
The backstory is Kim Kardashian decided to throw herself a birthday bash.
She did?
She did, but she decided to do it on a private island.
Of course she did.
So here's the tweet. After 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest inner circle with a trip to a private island where we could pretend things were normal just for a brief moment in time. And it just has, you know, some photos of her celebrating. Well, Twitter doesn't disappoint.
Of course it doesn't.
So people started taking her exact tweet, just copying it word for word, and then posting it with random pictures of them and their friends on a private island. Like, you know, one person put the cast of Lost. Another person put the cast of Gilligan's Island.
Of course.
You know, yeah. Anything that you could think of. I mean, it's just over and over and over. There's one that, you know, did Tom Hanks on Castaway with Wilson.
That's fantastic.
So I understand where she was trying to go from this, but it's kind of funny because, I mean, for me, I look at it this way. Does she think that's a normal thing to do? To be able to say, like, hey, I took everyone to a private island so we can have a birthday party and just pretend everything is normal.
Yeah, see, there. That's
where the rest of us are going, oh, yeah, I had a drive-by.
I think there is, I think there is a real disconnect, and I really hate this. I cannot believe that there are people just so numb to how something looks.
Yeah,
just so numb. Like it just is amazing that this person, like, she has such a. But I guess she just gets fed this on social media from millions of people who just are asking for more information. So she feels like there's a need to share all of this stuff in the way she shares it. Maybe that she's responding, or maybe she's just oblivious to how people live their lives.
I think it's
private island, multiple screenings, getting everybody to celebrate a birthday on a private island, like you said, where kids can't even have their friends over. They have to have drive-bys. And she's just like, well, I had a private island and we double screened everybody and it was awesome and we felt normal. Oh, good for. And it's just this total disconnect.
I was able to fly everyone down there.
Yeah,
on my
exactly.
Planes.
It's nuts. That is, I think you're 100% right. I think there is some sort of
It's just celebrity. It hits the wrong way. But I'm glad Twitter doesn't disappoint. People just took that and ran with it. You know, people. I mean, one person put up the cast of 90210 on the beach.
That's great.
Here's my inner circle of friends, and it's just, I don't know.
Listen, I love this is the one thing about Twitter that always makes me kind of happy is I consider myself kind of a not a huge witty guy, but I've come up with some zingers every now and then. I will see something on Twitter and I will go, oh, my God, I got a great response to that. But I always check because I guarantee you somebody's already thought of it.
Yeah.
I always go through it and I go, yeah, all right.
Well,
15 people have already came up with the same idea I did.
I'll let you know some to don't use. Don't use pictures from Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Definitely don't use pictures from the Fire Festival.
Got it. Okay. Fire Festival. That's the best one. That's the best one. Yeah. Fire Festival. I watch that Netflix Fire Festival documentary all the time.
Have you heard about that guy, by the way?
Billy McFarland? Is he out of jail?
No, he's been put in self-isolation because of a podcast he was doing. What
world he was doing a podcast in jail?
What world are we living in where
I don't even do podcasting now, and I have a studio in my house.
We're missing out, right?
God. He's doing a podcast in prison?
How?
That's what I want to know. Who gives him access to a studio to do a podcast?
I mean, don't they all look at the same like small screen TV that we see in all jail cells. It's not a flat screen.
If I find out Billy McFarland created a microphone, audio cords out of a bed sheet and a pillow, I will lose my mind, right? I will lose my mind.
Just, you know, make him MacGyver. Start like, sending I had him a on sneaker missions around
and
the
a,
world.
It's like you hear these stories out of prison. I had a sneaker and a sock and I made beer. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Stop. Hold on. What are you talking about? Like they're really getting with a lot of ingenuity. Billy McFarland. Good grief. All right. That's the good, the bad, the dumb. All right. Well, as we continue to talk more about the World Series, Gabe Lax will join us. One of my favorite guests. So talk about the Dodgers winning it all and what it meant last night when Kevin Cash pulled Blake Snell, plus the legacy of Clayton Kershaw. Got all that coming up as we continue with the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Gabe Lax will join us from USA Today, coming up in about 12 minutes. We'll talk about the World Series. Need replacement parts for your tools for your repair, maintenance, and restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So again, the big story out of the World Series last night was Blake Snell being taken out after 5 1/3, pitching good. Barnes gets the hit, and then Kevin Cash goes to the analytics. It leads to the larger question. Is this what we really want in sports? When we talk about analytics, we talk about teams doing things in this certain manner to be successful. Daryl Morey in the NBA, baseball teams using analytics, etc. Does it lead to moments like this where as a fan you're frustrated because there's a gut instinct that is just not prevalent here? There isn't a let's just go with what I think may be working instead of going by the book. Yes, there are percentages you want to play. There's percentages you want to play when you feel like you're at a disadvantage. Of course, all the shifts and all the analyzing a batter, et cetera, are important aspects of the game. But if it leads to something like that, where you can't trust a professional baseball pitcher to go into the sixth inning, a seventh inning of a game, then where are we going with the analytics? The funny thing was seeing last night people making the comment of, would Sandy Koufax have gotten pulled at that time? Would Bob Gibson have gotten pulled at that time? Would Jack Morris, who pitched into the 10th inning in an 8-91 World Series, would he have gone, would he have been pulled out in those situations, right? And I get it. Roger Clemens the same way. But remember, this is the way the Rays have done this all year, and this is the way the Rays organization has been. It's still worthy of criticism, without question. Kevin Cash made the wrong move, and it's not a wrong move in hindsight. It's not a wrong move because it didn't work out. It was a wrong move the second he took Blake Snell out, and his team knew it. And guess what? The Dodgers knew it, too. So we tend to play Monday morning quarterback. We get it. That's what we do. That's what we fans do as well. We always say we wouldn't have done something because the outcome on the decision was not what we wanted. So naturally, we would have said we would never made that decision in the first place. But when he was walking to the mound to take Snell out and going to the bullpen, everybody was saying this was a mistake at the time. It didn't matter if the Rays were going to go hang on for the victory. It didn't matter if they rallied in the ninth and putting up five runs and won the game. It was still the wrong decision. We're doing too many numbers things, and we're and again, I understand taking advantage of what you of how you can get into this position in the first place. You're not a team that is built like the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Red Sox or these high baseball salary teams that can go out and get a Bryce Harper, that can go out and get a Manny Machado, that can go out and re-sign sign a Mookie Betts or re-sign a star player. Randy Rosarena is going to leave the Rays at some point, and he's going to make a lot of money somewhere else, but he's not going to be making it in St. Petersburg. Right? That's just the way that organization has been run. But here's the funny thing about it. Money allows you in baseball to do a couple of things. It allows you, one, the freedom to go fill the holes with the right superstar player. When you have money, you can go after a Bryce Harper. You can go after a high-level free agent to fill a gap, a need. We are losing runs at this position, or our lineup could use an extra bat here. We need another arm here. You can go get a Garrett Cole if you're the Yankees or whatnot. But it also allows you to do what the Dodgers have done, which is find young talent, develop young talent, bring them up into the majors, and then keep them. Andy Friedman, the general manager of the Dodgers, was the general manager of the Rays. He basically put the philosophy into the Tampa Bay system that led them to the World Series in 2008 under Joe Maddon. And they've kept that system in play. They find diamonds in the rough. They find players they know can succeed with them. Randy Arozarena could not break into the St. Louis Cardinals lineup, but now he's a star. Right? Same thing with a number of guys on that team. They're now stars. They're going to be a playoff team. They're built that way. But what happens is they can't keep them. They couldn't keep David Price. They didn't want to keep Evan Longoria. They didn't want to keep anybody else that had gone, came up and coming, and all of a sudden, now they're going to demand a high price salary. And they just said, no, that's enough. That's how they run. But the Dodgers are different. Jock Peterson, they can keep. Corey Seager, they can keep, right? And they can keep these guys. Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, anybody that they feel is going to be important to the long-term success of their franchise growing up within the organization, they can keep. So Friedman has found a team that can do exactly what he wants to do from the farm system aspect, but he's also found a team that he can now keep those guys and pay them money because they have it. So the Dodgers, it won't be a surprise if the Dodgers continue to make run after run after run at a championship. The Rays are going to do the exact same thing. And they may fall here or there, but they're going to be a presence. Buck said it last night, and I think he's right. This wasn't just a platitude that you give a team and you say, oh, we'll be seeing a lot more of them. He's smart enough to know that's not true. He's smart enough to know that the economics of baseball can hit you hard. The Kansas City Royals won a World Series, and we haven't seen them since. That happens. The Pirates had some success a couple of, 7 or 8 years ago, making the playoffs. But then, you know what? The guys had to go, and the team just sort of, that's it. We made our run. Now we didn't get a title, but that's it. But he believes, he knows, and if you know baseball, you know this is what the Rays are built around. They just can't keep guys. So if you're a Rays fan, if you're one of the few that are a diehard Rays fan, and not, I live in Florida, so I'll root for the local team, but I'm really a Red Sox guy because I grew up in Waltham or any place like that. No, if you're a true Rays fan, you got to say goodbye to the stars that you're generating. That's just the reality of the circumstances in which you are part of. But if you are a Dodger fan and you got a 22-year-old kid, you can pay him. You can pay him when the time comes. You can get a Mookie Betts and you can keep him. You can raise a Jock Peterson. You can raise a Cody Bellinger and you can keep him. And the Rays can't. Gabe Lox is going to join us next. What does this mean for the Dodgers? What about Clayton Kershaw's legacy now that he's got a ring and pitched well in the series? And what about the Rays and the decision to pull Blake Snell after 5 1/3 could have cost him the game 6? It's all coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio Network.
SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Set to be joined by Gabe Lax at USA Today to talk about the World Series last night as the Dodgers beat the Rays. And you know what that means now that the Dodgers have captured the World Series championship? It means homefields.com has done it again. The three-dimensional, beautiful recreations of stadiums for your mantelpiece, your office, etc., has come through for Ron Culver. He had gotten Dodger Stadium. It's beautifully well lit. Again, a beautiful three-dimensional effect. Check him out at homefields.com. He put it on the mantle and hope it was good luck for the Dodgers. It turned out to be great luck for the Dodgers. They are the World Series champions. Over 160 arenas and stadiums to choose from. Go to homefields.com. Maybe you will strike it with good luck as well for your favorite team. Gabe Lax joining us from USA Today on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, my friend? Hello, Gabe. How are you?
Oh, hey. How are we doing today?
Good. All right, Gabe, let's get right to it. Blake Snell, 5 1/3, had 9 strikeouts, just 2 hits. He gets pulled. I know analytics said yes. What was your thoughts when that occurred?
You know, it's amazing. I don't think anybody from the casual fan to the most avid fan could kind of believe it was happening. You know, and I think for those of us who watch a lot of baseball, it's like, oh my gosh, is he really going to do this? You know, I know the Rays are analytically inclined and third time through the order and all that, but it was just stunning given how well he was throwing the ball, and anybody could see that. So it was just kind of this disbelief, and then, you know, it just almost felt like the baseball gods had to punish them for that. And boom, you look up, and before you know it, the game has flipped, and here we are heading into winter.
You mentioned it, Cash mentioned it, going into the top of the order with a third-time look. Does that ease that decision? Does it make sense? I mean, look, a pitcher who's that good should go through an order 3 times. I mean, if you're pitching that good, you're pitching that good.
You know, it's crazy. About 6-7 years ago, the Rays really popularized this, and they kind of didn't be in the Rays. They kept it close to the vest, but all of a sudden, all their pitchers started going 5 innings. And then suddenly the trend kind of caught on throughout the major leagues. But the funny thing is, usually a guy will kind of graduate and get that third time through the order, almost voucher or pass, whatever you want to call it. And a guy like Blake Snell, who won a Cy Young Award 2 years ago, well, he certainly has earned that, but in these playoffs, that all went away. And, man, you go back to the Houston series, one time it backfired on Cash when he pulled Snell. The Astros came back. Another time the next night, you know, everybody was freaking out when he pulled Charlie Morton, and then that ended up working out when Morton was throwing the ball really well. So, you know, it's such a thing in baseball. It's statistically grounded, kind of, but you know, you definitely need some flexibility for who the pitcher is and particularly how well he's pitching. And then the kicker for me, it's really weird. Mookie Betts had these very extreme reverse splits this year where he was batting 200, or he batted 200 with no home runs against left-handed pitchers. So, you know, you kind of throw all that in there, and it's it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And but they, the gut kind of goes by the wayside, and these numbers or these theories become gospel. regardless of how a guy looks on a given night. And, you know, Mookie Betts said it himself. He kind of couldn't believe it when they took him out. And you know how that is. Teams will kind of perk up and go, oh, they're taking him out? And,
yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And I kind of still can't believe it.
On the flip side, the Dodgers bullpen lights out good last night. In terms of that performance and the lack of offense from Tampa Bay, that's just another side of this game. I know the Cash decision is going to get a lot of look, but what the Dodgers were able to do pitching wise should be getting looked at as well.
Absolutely, and you know it's funny. I feel a little disingenuous, kind of criticizing the Rays for going this route because you know the Dodgers basically handled this game the same way they handled game two, which went terribly, and we all thought, you know, the Dodgers were foolish. But, you know, it kind of just goes to show that, you know, it's baseball, and sometimes things work out, sometimes they don't, you know. But, you know, Dave Roberts really managed it beautifully, and I think that you go back to the Dylan Floyd appearance. I believe it was a Rosarena that he went after and then got him out quickly back in the second inning. Yeah, that was remarkable. And then Julio Urias. I mean, it's probably the single most important Dodger pitcher on balance for the entirety of the playoffs. Had a huge appearances in every series. Big relief appearance against the Padres in the division series. You know, won game five against the Braves, and then pitched the last three innings of game seven of that series, and then, you know, absolutely huge in the World Series. And it's really impressive. And both of their clinchers, Dave Roberts just handed them the ball and let them finish the games. And you kind of expected that sketchy Dave Roberts decision, maybe, or that questionable, to go to Kenley Jansen or whoever in both of those clinchers. And nope, he just handed the ball to Julio and let him finish. And that both of those times, it was just remarkable to see the way that kid dominated the opposition.
Hey, look, this World Series, it's 32 years for the Dodgers. They're one of the storied franchises in the sport. But it also was their third appearance in the World Series in 4 years, and there was like almost like an Atlanta Braves feel to them. Like, you can get here, but you're not closing the deal. What does this World Series mean for what they've done over the last 5 or 6 years?
Oh, I think it means so much, you know, especially for that core group. When you go back to Kershaw and Jansen and Turner and Kike Hernandez and Corey Seager. And, you know, I hope it kind of becomes, you know, I guess, instructive to people of, I guess, how hard and how random it is to win a World Series. You know, they didn't really do anything too differently. I mean, they added Mookie Betts. That's massive, you know. At the same time, they lost about five starting pitchers and tried to replace them with Tony Gonsolin and Dustin May and whatnot. So, you know, this for that. But, yeah, I think people get so caught up in the end result when, you know, just the playoffs are just so challenging and random and everything else. So, but yeah, it's incredibly affirming to Clayton Kershaw, who was just, you know, he was just so giddy last night, discussing what it meant to him. And just like, he was, you know, his basic theory was all of that stuff doesn't matter. None of it matters.
Yeah.
You know, World Series champions, you know, I don't care about what happened last year, you know, and it was remarkable to see. So, yeah, it's definitely affirming for those guys and, you know, really takes a huge weight off of them and particularly on Kershaw, of course.
That's what I was going to hit to next, the Kershaw legacy. We went into this series talking about here's a guy who struggles in October, he struggles in World Series, and then he had two good outings and two good wins, had a pretty good postseason nonetheless. What do we still go to the numbers with Kershaw, or is that gone? He's a champion now, and he pitched well in this World Series to lead them to this championship.
Well, I think it has to. And, you know, you peek just a little deeper under the hood with all of his playoff appearances, and yeah, he's had some clunkers, and he's really coughed it up a few times. But you know, it's just remarkable to go back and look at the times he pitched on 3 days rest, or the times Don Mattingly way back in the day let him stay in the game way too long, and then the really head scratching decisions Dave Roberts made, such as last year's very ill fated relief pitching decision. You know, we remember the clunkers. We forget him going into Citi Field and sending the 2015 ALDS back to L.A. or dominating the 2016 Cubs on 3 days rest in game two of the 2016 ALCS, only to have a rough outing the second go around, but it's the tough ones that everybody remembers. And I know on balance his numbers aren't great, and I know that they're not obviously on par with his regular season dominance. But what I like to say is, Clayton Kershaw has pitched really great in the playoffs. He's pitched poorly in the playoffs, but above all, he's just pitched a lot in the playoffs.
Right.
And I hope that people realize a lot of the just times he kind of sucked it up and took the ball for the team, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And this was the best Dodger team he's played on, and it showed. He didn't have to shoulder so much of the load.
For the victors go the spoils, but let's talk about the team that is on the losing end of this, Tampa Bay. We know the Dodgers are good. They're built for success for years to come. Tampa Bay looks that way with their young talent, but reality, we've seen teams come and go in these kind of situations. What's the long-term, well, at least the short-term look of the Rays in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really crucial decision coming up with Charlie Morton. The club holds a team option on him that maybe they wouldn't pick up anyway, but they also, the really good relationship with player and team there to where maybe they could work something out. The question is if Morton wants to pitch again. And to me, that's everything in regards to 2021, just because for all the stuff we talk about with the opener and, three times through the order that we just discussed and all that other stuff, you look at the greatness of this team the last 2 years, and it's because they have three really great starting pitchers, three very traditional starting pitchers. And what that does is it makes the opener work on those other days. It takes the pressure off of a Ryan Yarbrough to where he can be a really good number four starter or come into the game after an opener. Especially when you look around the major leagues and all of the just shortage of starting pitching, you look at the Yankees, they spend, more than $300 million on Garrett Cole, yet you match them up against the Rays, and who has the better 1-2-3, the more reliable 1-2-3? Well, it's Snell and Morton and Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah.
So it's, Morton is just such a key guy for them. I don't expect their amazing platoon system, and the contributions from those guys to go away. They use them well, and off the top of my head, all of them are very young and very cheap and should be around a while. Maybe some of them get traded because the Rays always seem to find a way to get incrementally better. We kind of scratched our head at Tommy Pham getting traded last year, and then you look up and Manny Margot and Hunter Renfroe and Randy Arozarena are suddenly, in the aggregate, 10 times better than Tommy Pham was last year. So who knows what they'll have up their sleeve that way. But, really great starting pitching remains the bedrock of a good team, and that's what's going to keep them around if they're to stick around like this.
Gabe, I really appreciate it. I know the year was challenging at times and the playoffs and the bubble and whatnot. Great coverage of the World Series at USA Today, and thank you for joining us as always.
Yeah, you got it. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Gabe Lax, USA Today on the series, brought to you by Progressive. They're proud to sponsor and honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Hey, don't forget Halloween night. Showtime pay-per-view has got a good one. Gervonta Tank Davis taking on Leo Santa Cruz. This will be this Saturday. It is at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, and this is going to be a fight in front of fans. There will be some COVID-19 protocols in place. Tickets will be distributed in seat blocks to maintain proper distance, but tickets are still on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Go to Showtime pay-per-view to get this one. It's a rare situation. It's a good one. Belts in two different weight classes are going to be on the line. The 130-pounder for Davis and Cruz's 130-pound. Davis's 135-pound title, Cruz's 130-pound title. Each had won in the previous fight. Three-time world champion Gervonta Davis, a protege of Floyd Mayweather, headlining for the first time on pay-per-view. Santa Cruz also the same thing. This has got a good star power, a really good fight. It's coming up on Halloween night. Again, check it out, Showtime pay-per-view. Gervonta Tank Davis against Leo Santa Cruz at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. It is Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can. All right, so Jake Asman Show coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before we go, I said it at the top of the show, right off the bat. Ron Culver has had two championships in a very short amount of time. The Lakers winning the NBA title and now the Dodgers winning the championship in baseball. So I said that there was a, I showed you that there was a cap that was out that cost $110, but it celebrates the two championships. It's a Dodger blue hat. It's got the LA Dodger logo on it, but it's got the K-E-R-S of the Lakers right next to the LA of the Dodgers. And then it's got a picture of the NBA championship, the Larry O'Brien trophy, and the World Series trophy. And it says 1988 and 2020. The Lakers won the 88 NBA title as well.
Yeah. So you want to, if you are looking for something for me.
Yes. That's what I was getting at. Yeah. So this is the time
message
for giving.
I'll send you the address to ship it to.
That's right. Exactly. So this is the time for giving, people.
Yes.
And now you can get Ron the ultimate gift to celebrate the two championships in the City of Angels.
That's every day. Wonderful.
Los Angeles has just taken the sports capital of the United States mantle.
Title town
now. Tampa Bay could have had this thing.
Nope.
But you
nope.
know what? If Tampa Bay had it, they wouldn't have known what to do with it. It would have just spilled it into the water and been like,
oh. You want to know the differences? They could have a parade right now.
That's right. City of Los Angeles, congratulations. That's fantastic. All right. Jake Asman Show coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow for a Throwback Thursday. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.